This is a Boardwalk Audio podcast.
Hello and welcome to Duck Snort Baseball Podcast. I'm Greg Nix.
I'm Wayland McQueen.
And we're back from an extended vacation that we took.
There wasn't much baseball going on during the break.
Yeah, so. I think that the majors took like a three-ish week break also,
for the College
if I'm
World
not mistaken.
Series.
Yeah. It's they like when the NHL used to take breaks for the Olympics. Yeah. All the pro players go back to college to play in the College World Series for a couple of weeks.
Got to root for the alma maters.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we are happy to be back. Happy to be talking baseball. I do feel like we were getting ready to record, I feel like we got a lot of like baseball talk. Like it just started flowing. Like neither of us have talked about baseball probably with anybody for like the last like 3 weeks, aside from like text messages and stuff.
Yeah. I took a lot off. I did not. Here's the big thing I missed is I did not know David Ortiz was shot until like less than a week ago.
Right. Which isn't even like baseball news so much as it's like news. Like
right.
I feel like that was on CNN and
in
the New York Times and stuff like that. Like that was like a famous person almost got killed
in like the weirdest
in like an
story.
Execution style attempted murder,
but
case
like
of mistaken identity.
But also there's theories that like the way the guy shot him wasn't a shot to kill. So then there are theories that it was like a message
to David Ortiz or to the other guy. Cause what I
to
heard
David Ortiz.
Most recently, I heard that police thought it was a case they were trying to murder somebody else. In which case I'm like,
but
David Ortiz
like-
is easily like the, in the, top 100 famous, most famous people from the Dominican Republic. If not
I would
like,
say top
and,
like 20.
Yeah, exactly. If not like the top 10 or whatever, like how do you mistake him for
but he
somebody?
Wasn't he shot like pretty point blank?
Yeah.
That's the other thing is that like I was reading because I was like, if they tried to kill him, they would have just shot him in the head.
Oh.
Like why would you shoot like a big guy in the gut?
I feel like you can't like, if you're shooting somebody from close range, like there's no such thing as like a non-fatal attempt.
That's true. That it could be that.
Right? Like
no,
if you shoot somebody in the gut,
like they should die.
They probably are going to die most of the time.
It's all conjecture because no one has any idea what's going on.
Right.
Like so this is all just, but that's just one of the things is like maybe they weren't even trying to kill him. But then I feel like you shoot him in the leg, right?
Yeah.
Or the
like
shoulder.
Don't shoot him.
Well, if you want to send a message, though.
Send a message with, like, a baseball bat. That would send David Ortiz
that's a poignant
message.
Message
is,
yes.
Like, here's some irony for you.
Yeah,
the thing that
bat.
You used to make yourself is now your undoing.
Now, that would have been good.
Yeah.
We should be
contract killers in the
Dominican
Republic.
Contract killer business, because we got it. We know how to send a message.
Yeah. Or like something twins themed, maybe? Like, have two twins. Here you go. Have two twins, both of them wearing red socks, break his legs with a baseball bat.
Yeah.
That would be the cinematic way to do it. There's layers of illusion and representation, irony.
And then they yell, "This is our fucking city." As they do it.
Yeah. This is like the like Michael Bay movie version of this.
Which is sure to be made.
Yeah. Anyway, there was other baseball
news. Just saying that's like I couldn't believe I didn't
catch that I'm with
it's,
you.
I think the biggest like fuck I really wasn't.
I also can't believe that. Just before we get into the bulk of the show, let's give our shout outs to Boardwalk Audio and to offthebenchbaseball.com for their support. Check out Off the Bench for the latest and greatest baseball analysis. And check out Boardwalk Audio for a ton of great podcasts that they distribute. They both are easily Googleable or easily
Googleable.
www.able. So go to either of those websites and support them because they support us and we do appreciate it. With that said, I think first, why don't we do an update of the last thing that we talked about on the most recent episode, which was that we made a bet on who would be the leading all-star vote getter.
Yeah, which I won.
Which you are winning. So we both forgot that there is a new way that all-star voting is happening this year, which is there's two rounds of it. The what did they call, not the prelims, the, it's like the,
because these are like the starting finalists now. I don't remember what they called the previous.
It's like the same thing they call it in presidential elections.
Oh, the primary.
The primary.
Yeah, the primary.
I don't know why I was blanking on that. Yeah, the primaries.
The presidential elections are hardly in the news.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I haven't heard anything about that recently. Much like you and David Ortiz.
Yeah, you haven't heard.
I just sort of blocked that out.
You're not missing much.
So the primaries just happened, and I had picked Christian Yelich as the overall leading vote getter, and you had picked Cody Bellinger, and they are the top two, and they're separated by less than 20,000 votes.
Which is,
so our prediction,
3.5 million,
yeah, stunningly accurate and stunningly close. I think we deserve a round of applause for we're giving ourselves a round of applause for our accuracy and our competitiveness.
It makes it very fun to have it be this close.
Oh, absolutely. Much more fun than it would have been if it was like Mike Trout was winning by a lot, or like Cody Bellinger was winning Christian Yelich was like 12th.
Yeah. We also never addressed what we'd do if
it was an exact tie.
Oh, no. Well, we just buy each other a jersey.
I guess so.
Or half a jersey.
We'd get two... We get a Yelich jersey and a Bellinger jersey, cut them in half, sew them together.
Yeah.
We'd each get one.
Yeah. Well, that'd be fun. No,
that
I hope
would
they
be
tie.
Fun.
But what would we have done if Mike Trout was the overall vote getter? Just there's no winner.
I think we did address that, which was these are our picks, so whoever gets more votes out of
those
two.
It was just whoever's
two.
Highest. Yeah. But since we are so good at predicting all-star voting.
Yeah. They're winning by a fair amount. Yeah. So because we forgot about the primaries, what we're going to do is wait to see after the finals who is the vote getter combined, the leading vote getter combined. So like if Bellinger win, or if Yelich wins the next round, say by 10,000, Whalen would still be the winner.
Still win.
Because Bellinger got more overall votes.
Now I'm rooting for a tie. I want a half.
Yeah.
One of us will have Yellinger and one of us will have Bellich.
You know what would have been the most epic result was if, like, say Bellinger was the leading vote getter, but then Yelich got added to, like, the 26th man voting and, like, overtake him that way. That would have been the most dramatic.
That would have been insane by the fans. Just to
and the players not to vote
just
for
to completely
Yelich.
Leave Yelich out. Because, like, also he's supposed to... I think they're both pretty well-liked as people.
Yeah,
I've never heard a bad word,
yeah.
Especially Yelich. I've heard a lot of, like, he seems like a cool guy.
Yeah.
Bellinger, I'm sure, too. But just be like, fuck Yelich. If it's an exact tie, has Bellinger said anything about the home run derby? Because I think Yelich is in.
Oh.
So then that could be our ultimate tiebreaker is whoever...
Who wins the home run derby?
Bellinger decides to participate.
That'd be cool.
Where's the All-Star game this year?
It is in Taipei, I believe. Queensland, Australia.
I don't know.
I have not. Cleveland.
Either.
Is it Cleveland?
I was going to say Cincinnati, so we'll definitely say it's
Ohio.
In Ohio. It doesn't matter, but...
Well, now I'm curious, and I'm sure...
I'll look it up while we
I'm
there.
Sure actually people listening are like, it's in fucking blank, you idiots.
Come on.
Come on. So I think this new system of voting is kind of interesting. I don't think it like adds too much to the experience for me besides like more ways to calibrate fans' interests in various players, but I kind of like that. That's what I've always liked about all-star voting more than like who actually starts is kind of like who are the fans most interested in seeing.
You're right, it is Cleveland.
It is?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I mean it always evokes the endless debate of should it be like actually the best players kind of regardless of how their season is versus rewarding your Austin Meadows.
Well, yeah. You were just saying like Aaron Judge is a finalist and you don't think he should be because he's been hurt.
I think so. I fall somewhere in the middle. I just think Judge has missed so much time. If he would have missed like 15 games, but he basically hasn't played. So I do feel like he doesn't deserve to be on the All-Star team. I think there's a line somewhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and
I'm interested kind of
a lot
if like
of it.
Yeah, I agree with you. I wonder if this new sort of primary thing actually helps Judge, cuz say like for the next 2 weeks he just goes on a huge tear and he's a huge superstar, like he could definitely be in the final or be in the starting lineup still, which is kind of interesting.
But I get how you want your best as a baseball fan and MLB baseball, you want your best, and you want your best young players, I feel like is the most attractive thing. So I don't know, but he's just been so hurt for so long that,
yeah.
But like Carlos Correa is in the finals and he's not having like an amazing year, but
yeah, he should I guess in the end, like, it doesn't matter to me that much one way or another. And I think that is probably the most common view of it, too.
Oh, cool. Because can you remember any previous year's All-Star controversy?
The only things I can ever remember about the All-Star game are, like, White Sox related, which is just shows, like, the center of my focus. But it's always, like, you know, and it's mostly from when I was a kid of, like, ah, Frank should have made the team that year. And, like, didn't. He got screwed by the manager or whatever. Yeah. Or, like, I mean, Frank Thomas only made 4 All-Star teams. So that was basically...
Is that real?
Yeah. So that was basically my thought process every year was like, what? Frank's not on the team? And it would be like, Ray Durham was the White Sox only representative. But like, or like, Albert Bell was the only White Sox representative. Or like, you know...
Who? Or like Maglio Ordóñez or James
Dye. Mags.
Or Jermaine Dye. Who was blocking him in the AL?
Well, there was a lot of great first baseman. Mo Vaughn was a big one. Tino Martinez was a big one because he played for the Yankees.
Right.
Giambi came along eventually. He was a big one.
I'm just thinking the 90s because the first baseman I think of are like Jeff Bagwell, but that was NL.
Yeah. John Olerud.
I guess Cecil Fielder early in the career was might be blocked him.
There was Carlos Delgado. Like there was a lot of like really good first basemen. Yeah. It was a stacked position, but it was still like,
but
come
Frank
on.
Thomas was like the best one.
Yeah, McGuire, obviously
McGuire,
being on the A's.
I'm sure any time he wasn't hurt was in there. Okay, I can see how he got blocked. It's still
Paul
crazy.
Nero.
The Gold Glove winning first baseman.
Yeah. I rarely remember. The only thing are like outliers like that where you're like, how is this guy never, or like, was it Bobby Abreu who like didn't make an All-Star team for like years and years and years, though he was like one of the best players in the league.
I remember having when it was like Derek Jeter, A-Rod, Nomar Garciaparra, and Omar Vizquel were all good. That was like like 2 or 3 years where it's like, that's 4 All-Star starter quality shortstops.
Yeah.
And that was always the fun,
battle. And that's kind of what I mean by like seeing who the fans are most interested in. And that's kind of the fascinating thing is when there's like, you know, a bunch of deserving guys and you see like, oh, the fans are really like drawn to this guy for some reason.
Yeah,
I think like Tim Anderson was really close to making the top 3 at shortstop in the AL, which is a pretty stacked position. He came in 4th. And I think that's interesting to me of like, oh, because the MLB has been doing sort of a lot of selling of his brand around the whole bat flip thing and like celebrating and stuff. So it's cool to me that fans responded to that a little bit in addition to him having like a really good year versus like Yoan Moncada is having an equally good year. And he was like 8th or 9th in voting at 3rd base. So that kind of stuff is interesting. Even the year where it was like there was 6 or 7 Royals starters or something.
I was just reminded of that. At one point there were Mike Trout was the, it was like with like 2 or 3 weeks left, and Mike Trout was the only non-Royal that was going to be a starter.
Yeah.
And like that was also dumb as hell because Omar Infante and Alcides Escobar, like you can, you can like,
and I don't think those guys were, did Escobar actually win?
I don't remember. I was trying to remember. Infante definitely didn't. But I mean, you could talk yourselves into like, Hosmer and Moose and Salvi and Kane.
Those
are all fun. And Gordon at the time.
But it's cool to me, the combination of that was actually cool to me by seeing like, oh, Kansas City is like really
showing
jazz.
Yeah.
And like the rest of the league, the rest of the American League fans must be at least somewhat invested in what the Royals are doing.
But then you get the flip side, which is like annoying to me because I feel like people are annoyed by the Cubs and how this year, the entire, like Albert Almora is a finalist, which doesn't mean a lot. He wouldn't have been anywhere near the starting, but like they don't, Almora, Hayward, or Schwarber, none of them are having a good enough year to be doing that well. And it, I feel like it's fun when it's like up and comers, and then it's annoying when it's like just obviously,
but I don't think like
stuff.
Anybody would have, like, I don't think those players are actually even doing especially well, like for big market. Like nobody would have commented on how well they did in the voting if it weren't
for this
new
round.
System,
you're right. And Hayward, I think people probably just voted for him because he's been
a recognizable name.
Well, he's been not terrible for the first time. So that's amplified in the minds of Cubs fans.
Yeah,
to
sure.
Be like, oh, Hayward is
he deserves recognition
decent.
For not being embarrassing.
He's not the, yeah. Or I don't think he deserves it necessarily, but he gets it.
Yeah.
Maybe. But I do like this round. I think it is interesting to see who they like. It's going to be interesting to see. It's going to be fun, too, when there was a player that maybe finished fourth or fifth might end up starting, or a player that finished second might end up not.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, sure.
Like, it's going to be fun to see.
If anybody switches spots.
If there's any big flips along the way.
Yeah.
With, like, kind of, like, this is the reason why in national elections we should have, like, rank choice and stuff. Like, it's the exact reason is, like, once your favorite's out, then you could.
Yeah.
It's I'm not going to get into it, but.
I'd support it.
I big time support it.
This is our segment, Constitutional Changes with Waylon. We're Waylon.
That's not a that's a state-by-state decision. That's not the U.S. Constitution.
Wouldn't it be for the national elections, though? For
yeah, but the state decides. I mean, the Electoral College is the only thing that's in the Constitution.
Hmm.
Like, the state can decide how. I mean, the state doesn't have, like, we could all go, like, let's say Bernie Sanders wins California, but whoever is in the Electoral College for California could be like, fuck it, we're going with Liz Warren without...
Mm.
Liz Warren could have like 9 votes and California could still technically say we're throwing our votes to Liz Warren. Like,
it makes a ton of sense that... no, it does. That doesn't make any sense at all. But
ranked choice is how we can arrive at... like.
But I'm saying I'm just saying there's so many weird, stupid like holes in our electoral law.
Oh, big
but,
time.
That's neither here nor there.
No.
Moving on from All-Star voting, the big news of, I guess, this week or this weekend was that this... Tampa Bay, Montreal.
Oh boy!
Perhaps splitting a team, which is
never going to happen.
Never going to happen. It's patently ridiculous. I would say. I don't even know what to say about this besides like what.
Well, I think it's. Have you ever in your life thought about a split city team?
Well, what it made me think of was like the NBA did that for a little
Kansas
while.
Kansas City and Omaha?
Well, no, New Orleans and Oklahoma City
split in
the wake of Katrina.
Right.
Well, first they moved to Oklahoma City for the end of one season, and then for like the next year they were like splitting.
I forgot about that.
And that was the closest that I could
think of. But they think in the 60s or 70s, the Kings were... the Omaha Kansas City Kings for at least one season, maybe two.
But that at least is the same like general region.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But I've never even thought about it for baseball. Just I think because it's such a long season, it seems in. I guess like Montreal played those games in Puerto Rico before they moved to Washington.
Yeah, but that was just a couple series,
yeah.
right? From what
yeah,
this one would be the halves of the season.
Oh yeah, this was like a bonkers.
This
was a bonkers.
Tampa Bay in the first half of the season, Montreal in the second half of the season, right?
Yeah, which is also nuts. It's two countries. This crazy. They're not even close to. It's not even like Buffalo and Toronto or something. You know what I mean? Like it's like
obviously
none of it makes any sense.
The thing that makes sense is like. Tampa Bay, nobody goes to Tampa Bay games, so they're looking for a way to change that, but to make more money. But like,
why
Montreal besides like it being a very big city?
I
think that's the reason. It's a big city that already has like a stadium that they could play in for temporarily.
But it's like a terrible stadium.
They wouldn't have to do any upfront investment to see how well it worked. But like, I mean, it's never going to happen. So I guess that is the like takeaway is like, there's no way to work out all of these logistics that make it an idea that you go, huh? Those are real problems.
Much. And then all the employees would have to have like two houses. Essentially.
Yeah. Or they'd have to get like two
but then that cuts in employment. Like, but you can't have, like, the trainer has to be the same guy.
Yeah.
Like, or I mean, it doesn't have to be, but it probably is best for everybody if the trainer's the same guy.
Oh, absolutely.
And that trainer probably doesn't make enough money to have a house in two cities.
Yeah. Unless, like, the team is providing, like, a hotel or something.
I think it was just a move to A, like test the resolve of Tampa Bay to see if like how much of a big deal it was for them to freak out about losing half the games.
Yeah.
And then also the flip side is seeing how Montreal reacts.
Like, yeah, you're probably right. But I don't think it worked for them as they planned then in Tampa Bay, because all the stuff that I saw from Tampa politicians was like, you know, they've been asking for money for the stadium, but now they come out with this thing that like shows they're not even committed to Tampa Bay. So like, why should we give them this money?
Yeah, but then also the mayor of St. Petersburg was like, we're not letting them out of their lease. And their lease is like through 2027 or something. So it's like...
All this stadium bullshit just like really gets so old. And I'm not even like rooting for one of these teams, but just hearing about all this shit like over and over again, and it's always the same fucking negotiations, like the same fucking problems, and whether it's Oakland or Tampa Bay or... You know, Atlanta
Phoenix
with the both the baseball team and the basketball team are like complaining about. It's just like, what the hell? The Rangers are getting a new stadium, even though like
they don't really need
one. Like, I just don't.
Well, that's what I mean. That happened. That's why the Sonics left. They didn't need a new stadium.
Yeah,
but, like they like
all the. It's like owners make it really frustrating to be a sports fan sometimes, you know?
Yeah,
it's like these constant reminders that like this is not actually like a team or like a civic institution that you're like rooting for. It's like a billionaire's business that you're like invested your emotional well-being into.
That's why it must like, be so great to be a Packers fan.
Like, yeah,
that's
totally.
Like the only one. I don't think I could ever hate the Packers.
Just because they're community owned.
Like, because that's the one team, maybe not the one, there are other probably good owners that I don't know, like every owner and every team in major league sports, but like that's the one I know of for sure where it's like it at least is the has to be serving the interest of Green Bay more so than any other.
Nationalized sports teams. That's our new hot take.
That's
here
the new
on
AOC.
Duckstart.
That's the AOC's coming hot. I do think that it seems like it's becoming almost impossible for an owner to get taxpayers to fully fund a stadium.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Which is like, a step in the right direction.
I think
for
it
sure.
becomes where teams are getting held hostage, unfortunately, because of that, and they might lose teams. But I don't think any city should ever have to pay for a stadium.
Yeah.
Without having some sort of direct benefit that I don't know, because I don't know municipal politics and tax systems well enough. But like, that seems to be good. I'm sure it'll happen a few times, but I'm glad that we're over that hump, because that was a very annoying.
Yeah.
And we're seeing like the Chargers, like the dude, I mean, I know it's not baseball, but he made such a dumb move moving that team away from San Diego.
Yeah.
Just because they wouldn't pay for a stadium.
Yeah.
And San Diego doesn't give a shit. LA doesn't give a shit. Like the only thing that hurt is him.
Yeah.
I guess.
Right. Yeah. And that's kind of the thing too. I mean, like, I think the Chargers move in particular was a bad one because like San Diego's a big city and like LA just got a team that they already didn't care about. And now the Rams are good, and so, like, that's the team people will care about.
Yeah.
But, like, so I don't know that any other sports owner could make that dumb a move unless, like, actually...
Sports owners are pretty dumb.
There was a Chicago Sun-Times columnist. I was just reading this right before we started recording. Chicago Sun-Times columnist proposed that instead of moving to Montreal for half their games, the Rays should move to Chicago for half their games, play the second half of their season in the White Sox stadium, like on off and on, so that Chicago had a third team for fans who were not invested in the White Sox or the Cubs to root for. This was a serious column that a sports writer wrote.
Who's a baseball fan in Chicago that's not invested in one of those two teams that's not from somewhere?
Right.
Like,
fucking precisely. What a stupid take. So anyway, that would be the only dumber thing than moving the Chargers to Los Angeles.
I've read some things about how there's room in...
Inland Empire?
For baseball?
I've read that like the Inland Empire is actually, which is, if anybody is not listening in LA, is sort of the area east of LA County, which is so there's a lot of stuff there, and that's the biggest metropolitan area in the country
that's
without a professional sports team, but there's no like center to it.
Yeah, that's the it's like
I don't know where you would put something.
I have no idea.
Yeah,
the San Bernardino or something.
Yeah, I guess so.
I've been hearing things where New York could fit a third team, and I could buy that though. But I feel like Chicago is like you're either Cubs or White Sox if you're a baseball fan. You're not going to bring in indifferent fans for a third new team.
No, it's an insane
I think
column.
In New York you could put a team somewhere where they're like, I think there's probably, I don't know New York well enough, but
yeah,
that's the only one I can think. Because even like bringing another team like Philly or Boston at this point would be stupid. It's like yeah. they're that.
Nah. I guess in New York, it would probably be Brooklyn where you would put the team, right?
Yeah, and then have like another team to identify with Brooklyn.
Yeah. Anyway.
It's very dumb. It's very interesting to think about. I was like, I never even thought about a two-team.
A two-city team?
A two-city team. You could maybe pull it off if it was like...
If it was like Tampa and like Jacksonville or something, that would make yeah. a lot more sense.
Or like
Charlotte or Nashville, like someplace that... Like a baseball team like...
They're not even... I feel like if Atlanta and Nashville or Atlanta and Charlotte split the Braves... the Braves would never don't need to leave yeah. Atlanta, but it had to be something... I don't... That's... Or it had to be like a new city that... It would have to be like an Omaha, Kansas City, even though Kansas City has a team, but something like Portland, Seattle sharing a team or something. I don't know.
It doesn't make any sense. It's very silly and very dumb and like just definitely reeks of like... publicity stunt negotiation
yeah.
tactic.
And I think, if anything, it just benefits Montreal because there's so much momentum behind them getting a new team.
Yeah, for sure. There is yeah. a huge amount of momentum, yeah. and I think that it will happen eventually, yeah. but this is not going to be the way. I also don't think, like... I'm kind of skeptical that MLB would even let Tampa move to Montreal because I think they want to expand the league, and I think Montreal is one of the ripest cities for a new team.
It seems
so
like
I don't
the
know
only...
that they would give up that yeah. that spot to Tampa, you know?
No, I don't think they would either. It seems like Montreal is like the only one that's like the definite, you know what I mean? Like they're like
it
Charlotte,
like,
Nashville,
like
Portland
is the most likely
Vegas.
Other one.
Yeah, but those, it seems like any argument, it seems like everyone's always like, Montreal should definitely get one. And then, like, it seems like Portland's in the lead, but then there's always, like, hedging yeah. with, like, Vegas now, I think, especially yeah. since the Golden Knights are going so well. And then, like, yeah, like, Nashville seems to get a lot of buzz. Mm-hmm. But
I was just in Nashville.
You were?
Lovely city.
You like it?
I do like Nashville very much. Second
been.
Time visiting there. It's very cool.
I've heard nothing but great things. Yeah. I was just in, speaking of cities that get buzz, I was just in Mexico City.
Oh, yeah.
It's so far.
Yeah.
It's like a 3.5 hour plane ride from L.A. and
yeah, it's
and
like
the only
as
other
far
place,
as New York.
Yeah, the only
from
other
LA.
Places that would be closer would be like Texas.
Like Texas.
It's like still a 3 hour plane ride from yeah. anywhere.
Yeah, not gonna happen.
It's so, and it's also like 8,000 feet or whatever. So,
yeah.
it's,
I feel like once they get if they get to like 40 teams in MLB,
yeah.
maybe.
But
I think London makes more sense than Mexico City.
Well, at least I think at least Mexico embraces baseball more
right.
than the United Kingdom. So
yeah, I get that.
I think
part
like
of it.
San Juan, Puerto Rico, or like the Dominican. Talk about
yeah,
that's
San Juan.
Like that's where
yeah.
you put something.
Yeah,
but Mexico City is also dope. I would recommend that.
I would love to go.
Say. Yeah.
The other things that we wanted to well, let's talk Dodgers for a second because the Dodgers are piping hot.
Probably the best team in baseball.
They seem to be the best team in baseball.
Who I mean, really only the Astros can make that claim, and record-wise, the Twins.
Yeah,
right?
And run differential-wise, the Twins.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we shouldn't discount the Twins.
We shouldn't.
It's
I
just
think
so
the
hard because it's so surprising.
It's so surprising, and also, like, they have the advantage of playing the Tigers, Royals over and over again, and both of those teams are very bad.
But the White Sox are not bad.
Yeah, they haven't played the White Sox except for one series so
okay.
far. They have their second series against the White Sox later this week.
Okay.
But yeah, the Dodgers, I don't know what to say about them, I guess, besides I was just at a game on Saturday. It was very fun.
The Rockies.
The Rockies.
So and you saw a walk-off home run because
I did not see a walk-off home run because we left before the 11th inning.
Oh, 11th.
But I did see Alex Verdugo hit his first home run.
Oh, nice.
And then he hit another one later on. The thing that I think differentiates the Dodgers, especially from the Twins, but not from the Astros, is the depth, right? And
mm-hmm.
we've talked about this before, is like, this is a deep organization, a deep team. They've had injuries. They've rolled with injuries already. Their starting rotation looks I believe the technical term is ranunculus.
Mm-hmm. That is the baseball term.
I think that's the sabermetrician term.
Yeah,
for
Bill James.
Bill James coined the phrase ranunculus
in 1981.
Yeah, the Bill James abstract. Yeah. My dad had all those books when I was a kid, so I like would skim through them all the time.
That would have been a dream if I had those when I was a kid.
Yeah. My childhood was a dream.
Yeah, you had a dream childhood.
So check out. I'm going through their stats right now. I want you to tell. I'm going to read these ERAs, and I want you to pin them to a pitcher.
Okay.
So 1.27 ERA.
That's right, you for sure.
Yes. These are in ascending order. 2.55 ERA.
I don't even know who's been, 255. I'm not going to be good at this because I don't
That's
know.
That's okay.
I'm
That's
not gonna
Rich
be able
Hill.
To call, I was going to say Rich Hill. I'm not going to be able to recall all five of their starters
well,
or six of their starters.
You don't have to. I'll tell you the answer when you can't get it.
Okay.
Clayton Kershaw is at 285. With third. 296 is Walker Buehler.
Oh, Walker Buehler, yeah.
376 is Kenta Maeda. That's their starting rotation. Kenta Maeda is the worst pitcher in their starting at 376. They all strike guys out. None of them really walk anybody. Kenley Jansen has been very good, even though Dodgers fans hate him. I think like they could use another bullpen arm, but who couldn't? But otherwise, like this team is crazy. You know, they lost Seager and have not missed a beat. I just feel like I kind of feel like this is the Dodgers' year. You don't think so?
I mean, they're the best.
Just because they haven't won it the last 2 years? Or because
it's
you don't,
tough because
you don't believe
like,
in their talent? Or because there's
I believe in their talent. I mean, but Kershaw's the only one that has the track record for you to be convinced that that will continue, right?
Well, yeah, I guess Ryu has never had an ERA below 1.5 before. So.
Well, but he's had a lot of injury problems, and he's always been good, but it's like...
You're right.
I'm not saying they'll definitely flounder. They could all keep this up, but it's not like that with that pitching staff, you're like... It's not like if this was... You were saying, this is Scherzer, this is Strasburg, this is Zimmerman like 3 years ago. You know what I mean? It's not like...
Sure. I think Buehler, you could say he's had the track record just because he was very good last year, and he was a top prospect.
And Maeda's not doing like,
been
so well. That,
sort of along these same lines for most of his career. So, yeah, obviously Ryu is a guy who is like significantly outperforming. But that's kind of it for their like entire team as far as guys who are like, this
super
came out of nowhere. Like David Freese is having maybe an unusually good year, but they're pretty good about only playing him against lefties.
Yeah.
Muncy is having another really good year. Like I think the thing, and that's kind of the thing that like makes me, look, nobody's going to keep up a 1.27 ERA. Like nobody can do that for an entire year in this day and age. I don't think, not... His thing is that he hasn't given up home runs and he hasn't walked anybody.
Right.
He only has six walks.
Because he
the
has
season,
that.
Which
he
is insane.
Because he's not striking like a ton of people out, but he has that ridiculous K walk rate because he's only walked six people.
Yeah.
Like, because it's like 15 or something. It's absurd. It's just because his walks are so low.
I think like he's gotten lucky and that's kind of inarguable just because nobody can do that except for like Bob Gibson with the mound at a different height.
That year, no one hit 300 in the American League. I know he didn't play.
Yeah.
Or no, one person did, and it was Carl Yastrzemski. That was a crazy low defensive year.
Yeah.
But I think that... it's not that I don't think they... it's like... It's not like they're the 98 Yankees, I guess. You know what I mean? Like, they're a very good team. I think they're the best team in the National League. I can't point... I think that really the Cubs and maybe the Phillies are the only team I'd feel even comfortable thinking that they could beat them in seven games, like without something crazy
Phillies
happening.
Have not been good lately.
They haven't been, but I guess they have the talent. But, you know, like, I don't think the Braves have been playing very well. They're a very good team. But I believe in the Dodgers way more than I believe in the Braves.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, like, I think, like,
I guess the Brewers could beat. I could see the Brewers beating the Dodgers. I think the Dodgers are better than them, but I think
right.
If the Brewers are clicking on all cylinders, they could beat them. I guess they're just not so like blowing me away dominantly good that I can't see a way for them to.
Sure, I can see a way for them to lose, but I think that they're significantly better than the competition in the NL. I agree with you. Like, even the Cubs would be underdogs. Like, any of these teams be underdogs against
every
them.
Team would be the underdog. I think the Astros would be the only team that would, in the whole, all of baseball, that would maybe not be an underdog.
Right.
And maybe even them.
And so to me, like, just thinking about it sort of like, I guess, like, in a logical way, like, they have such a head start on making it to the World Series over any mm-hmm. other team that, yeah. like, they just in that alone, they have a head start on winning the World Series. And then when you add on to that, like, their talent level, their depth, like, the prospect depth that they haven't even used yet.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to be so good for so long.
Yeah.
I guess it's just, like, since they've blown it in a weird ways
yeah.
these last two seasons, it's like, Are these the Buffalo Bills of
right,
the
and
like,
that's
like,
the only thing
which
that
isn't
like,
fair and it's not even a real analysis, you know what I mean?
But
it's
right,
like,
but that is like sort of a concern is like if it feels stale or whatever, like, you know, what if Nationals syndrome hits them
yeah.
like mid-season?
And it's not like they were that much worse the last 2 years where they didn't win the World Series. And again, I know that they almost won the World Series
right.
2 years ago and they like winning the World Series is a crapshoot, but it's like it's hard for me to like be that jazzed on and when I'm like, what's that different?
Yeah.
This is the best they've played probably other than
well,
when
I would say they do turn over more guys than maybe like the Astros
yeah.
do even or certainly like the Nationals. Like if you look at their lineup, you know, like from 2 years ago in the World Series, like Austin Barnes wasn't a big part of that team.
Muncy
Max Muncy wasn't
there.
A big part of that team.
Was Ryu hurt during that or was he playing in the World Series?
Yeah. Like Bueller wasn't on that team. So I feel like they have like important contributors and a lot of young guys who maybe keep it a little bit fresher. I mean, we talked about the Nationals previously and like, who knows what's really going on with them. But
yeah,
I do think that's like a thing across sports of like, if a team is together for too long and they're, it doesn't feel like they have like sort of an upward trajectory.
Yeah.
Like it just gets stale and,
but the Cubs looked like that last year, and then this year it feels like they've turned that around for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Like, so
I mean,
maybe the Dodgers, yeah. this is the year that they're like clicking in a different way that is behind the scenes. Like,
yeah.
It's obviously impossible to know, but they're very impressive. Like
yeah.
the bottom line is that they've been very impressive. This is the most confident I've been in the Dodgers, I would say, of the past 2 years. Like
yeah.
last year they struggled so much
yeah.
during the regular season. And then the year before, they had that losing streak, which like where you're like, oh, and like unless that happens again, I do feel like it's hard to ignore that the Dodgers are the best team in the NL.
Yeah,
like the Cubs and the Brewers would be the only team, and I can't talk myself into that.
Yeah,
as long as the Cubs have been better this year, but they're not as good as the Dodgers. There's no way, and they just lost 3 or 4 from the Dodgers, so that's proof that just literally happened.
Well, let's talk about the rest of the NL for a sec to close things out, because as you noted, every team except for the Giants and the Marlins is within 3.5 games.
Yeah,
of
as
the
of
wild
recording,
card, as of our recording,
yeah.
which is pretty nutty, I would say, especially because the Dodgers are really the only breakaway team.
Because the Phillies
Braves
are hanging
have
around.
Like sort
yeah.
of like have stretched their lead in the East,
yeah.
but they're not like dominant quite yet. I don't think it's like an insurmountable lead that they have. The Dodgers one is pretty insurmountable. But
oh yeah, no one's catching the Dodgers.
Yeah. But I think the fun thing for me about this, the interesting thing is like teams like the Reds that we haven't seen
yeah.
in the hunt much. Padres, the Rockies have been there and the Diamondbacks have been there the last couple
Pirates,
of years. But
Pirates are hanging around.
You kind of assume they're going to fall away, and then they don't. The Pirates are hanging around.
I don't think you can count the Rockies ever, right?
Right. It's the like, Rockies are like this weird zombie team.
They're like a magic team. And
they're just going to win 86 games every year, and sometimes it'll be enough, and sometimes it won't. So I guess, like, I think actually it kind of makes sense. Like, because I think we talked about this earlier in the year and before the year, is, like, there is a lot of, like, parity in terms of like rosters. Like if you look at
yeah.
like all of these sort of, aside from the Dodgers and then the Giants and the Marlins, you look at all of the talent on these rosters and sort of like add up like, oh, here's what I would think this guy would do in sort of like a typical year for him.
Yeah.
They seem pretty evenly matched, yeah, to all of these teams. And like, that's not to say all of the guys are performing as you would expect, but I think like within the range of outcomes that you would expect, some guys are high, some guys are low, but like collectively, yeah,
they're
the
right
teams
there.
All make sense for their talent level versus, yeah, their win level.
And
for
we
the
say they're
part.
All 3.5. You know, I was just, like, 4 games under .500 are the low teams.
Yeah.
You know, so like, it's not like these teams are like, it's not like we're having this weird situation where everyone's 5 games above .500,
yeah,
somehow. Like, they're playing average, and that's enough to hang in there.
Yeah.
And
who
then like,
do you have like who would you bet on making?
Oh, who would I bet on?
Yeah. Who would you bet on for these two wild card spots? We'll say that.
Well, I would say definitely the loser of the Brewers Cubs. I mean, I think it's probably the loser of Brewers Cubs and the Brewers loser of Braves Phillies.
You think so?
I think so. Ultimately, those are the teams to bet on, right? Like, who else is like, because like they're those two teams. So let's right now the Phillies and Brewers would occupy those spots. I guess the Cardinals is really the only other one just on paper. Like on
or
paper.
The Nationals. On paper.
Yeah, they've kind of clawed their way back into it. We kind
they
of wrote them off.
write them off pretty good, yeah, last time, and then they have been playing much better,
yeah,
for sure.
So I guess, yeah, the Nationals, but like the Mets are like a mess all the time.
So their manager, I guess he didn't get fired today, but it, yeah, seemed like he was going to get fired, yeah, because they've been very bad, and then
they
told the reporter to fuck off in the clubhouse.
They have an 82-year-old pitching coach, yeah, now, the Vulture. But like, it's the Reds are my favorite story amongst them, even, yeah, though I don't like them because of the division. I guess I would root for them more than any other like team that's like one of these surprise teams.
Not the Rockies.
Well,
you've had a soft spot for the,
oh,
Rockies.
Oh, I love the
for
Rockies.
Many years.
But they don't. They're like in a special category of like
weirdness.
Yeah, I would love the Rockies to be successful, but I like the Reds are fun to watch. The Padres are fun, but they're a year away. It's like, ultimately, the Brewers, Cardinals, and Nationals and Phillies are the teams that have the teams that are actually probably
highest
good.
True talent,
right?
Level.
Yeah,
that's what I would say.
But so the Diamondbacks, it's hard for me to think that the next 80 games that they'll hang in there. The same with the Padres, Reds, and Pirates. They could.
I think the like weird thing about baseball in 2019, when you're trying to analyze these sort of like in the middle teams, is like a lot of them have these breakout guys, right? Like,
yeah,
Derek Dietrich or like Ketel Marte,
yeah,
who like are busting out with huge power numbers that you've never seen from them before.
Yeah. Josh Bell this year.
Yeah, yeah. And you're like, how many, like, it's harder to judge, I think, than it used to be whether those are real or not. Like, and by that I mean they're more likely,
yeah,
to be real, it seems like,
yeah,
which like totally changes your perception of the player and the team. If like, oh, is Derek Dietrich suddenly a 30 home run guy now because he did some weird offseason workout on launch angle and now,
yeah,
now he's that guy. And like, so that's why I think it's harder to write off some of these teams after half seasons because they have guys with like these power surges,
yeah,
where you're like, maybe that's just this guy now, because that's what baseball is in 2019, as like JD Martinez comes out of nowhere to be the best hitter in the major leagues,
right,
over 4 years or whatever, you know?
Yeah, I think you're totally right. I think you have to look at pitching more, but then I think with bullpens being so, it's pretty easy to put together a decent bullpen over a year.
Yeah.
Like it's harder to, I think it's still hard to say like, can this player be good in the bullpen for 4 years?
Right.
But it's, I think also it's just like, if this guy's throwing heat and he stays healthy, he's going to throw heat for, you know, like,
yeah,
he's going to be striking guys out in the seventh inning for the rest of the season, probably.
Well, speaking of throwing heat and staying healthy, Jordan Hicks did not do that. Jordan Hicks is having Tommy John surgery, they just announced today. So the Cardinals just got a big blow.
That sucks.
And
I mean,
fans of 106 mile per hour fastballs just got a big blow.
It sucks as a fan of baseball. It does not suck as someone
rooting for the Cubs,
rooting against the Cardinals. But
yeah, I don't know. I mean,
that's injury. It's like injury is the thing, right? For a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
I think starting pitching, though,
you can
look
at. Yeah,
who gets
lucky with injuries is going to play a big part in like who's there in August, and that'll play a big part in like who's there pushing in September.
But it's going to, like, the trade deadline's already been weird, but if there are, I mean, the trade deadline's not that far away.
Yeah, right.
And there are 14 teams in the race in the National League right now.
Yeah, and it's only one trade deadline now. There's no August moves.
Yeah, and so it's like, even if the Padres are still 4.5, I mean, the Padres are a bad example because they're, but if like, even if the Pirates are 4.5 out, like,
Yeah.
Do you give, like, I feel like it's so hard, which, you know, I kind of like.
You know what I hope one bonus of, like, all these teams being in the mix this year is like, we see less service time gamesmanship in the,
yeah,
you know, and we see more teams calling up guys because, like, they're trying to make the push and because there's no other way to get new talent onto your roster in August.
But I think, yeah, and I think that's cool, though, too, because then they get this half season, not only because the service time manipulation is bullshit. Yeah, you get, it's not just like a cup of coffee and like a month. Like, I mean, sometimes it backfires where it could get in players' head or whatever, like, or it exposes weaknesses earlier than you want to before they can work on them. But sometimes I feel like it's like, yeah, let them be worth one win over 3 months, which is still pretty good, but like a half win over 3 months, and then like then they can have their first full season and they feel better about
it. It's one thing if you're like eminently unqualified to be a major league baseball player at one point, and the team puts you like in a position where there's, you know, an inordinate amount of pressure on you to be the savior or whatever. But like I buy less like failing and going back down is a bad thing than maybe like sort of conventional or team wisdom seems to be these days, where it's like, even you look at Adalberto Mondesi, like he was terrible.
Oh yeah.
Getting called up way too early and now he's good. And like,
yeah, I think there's great value in that.
Thinking about my own life too, it's like, there have certainly been things that like I thought I was ready for and then I wasn't. And then I came back around and that experience of not being ready helped me prepare for when I was eventually ready. Yeah. And I think that like, that I do wonder if, like, you know, obviously measurables and statistics and sabermetrics are like the future of baseball. And I wonder, but I do wonder if like that sort of like mental, like figuring out how to quantify the mental part of the game will become a bigger push in the future.
Yeah, it's going to be tough, but I think and there's
like,
yeah.
Yeah, like measuring like even, there's like the statistical way to do it, I guess, would be to like measure like when guys were called up at what age and like, you know, like you sort of project like where they were in the prospect rankings or the scouting reports versus like how they actually performed. And like there's got to be a way to sort of like do some kind of rough calculation for like, is it too early for this guy? And that's, I wonder if that will happen at some point.
I'm like, part of the reason I'm thinking about this a lot, I'm reading this Beatles book that's like it's 1,000 pages and it only goes up until 1962.
Oh, wow.
And so, but like they weren't ready. They like were doing these live shows that they were not ready for. Yeah. They were like, by all accounts, like not great, except for they could both sing, Paul and John.
Yeah.
But it's like, but then they keep saying like, this experience is what we needed to get good.
Yeah.
And I think that carries over in almost anything. I know this is a little different because baseball is a little more technical, but it's like, for some people, that has to be like, they would rather be bad at the highest level.
Yeah.
Than good at a lower level.
Yeah, figuring out which of the guys need to be pushed to the majors and which of the guys need the like mental, like,
I think that's
okay, I'm good at AA, now I'm good at AAA.
I mean, that's probably why you always need coaches for it. Like that's the value in, probably the true value in coaching right now.
I think there is, but like there's got to be, I don't know, there's just got to be a way that to like measure that predictively too, you know, that you can use in conjunction with coaching. I don't know how it would be, but like,
it's just,
you know, or like every player takes a personality exam and now you have, eventually you have like decades of like personality exams to like analyze against this guy. I mean, I like, it's never going to be an exact science.
You're talking like Black Mirror shit right now. I feel like this is like,
look, you just put a computer in every player's brain and then you can measure their,
I do think so.
I don't know.
Some of this stuff could be quantified. I think it's just so tough because it's like also one of those things that's like, the situations you're talking about, we've all been in those situations where you thought you were ready. It's like, you don't know how you're going to react to it till you get there.
Yeah. I guess like maybe I'm talking out my ass, but like the thing that's been making me think about this is eventually there's got to become like a point of diminishing returns where you're doing statistical analysis for like field events. And
I
like
do agree
every,
with that.
Every
yes.
team has like the same information and the same predictive. So like there's got to be a next frontier. But we don't know what the next frontier is. Like, what is it? Like, maybe it's like player, you know, like
I mean,
quantifying player
right.
personality.
Because almost everybody starts in high A. It's like very rare not to begin your career in high A unless you're like
Like, you don't skip by it very often, right?
Right, and so then if you track, how do they respond from going to high A to double A? Like, and how were they? I think that's probably where it is, right? Like, how do they respond moving through levels?
I guess, like, but that part probably is already built into.
You think so? Like the mental?
No, not the mental part, but like the statistical. Like, how do they respond? Is but then built I'm saying the predictive.
But I'm saying the
models.
Yeah. But then I'm saying you bring in the mental somehow. Right. Like, did they? Because then, but then you're dealing with psychological evaluations. Like, you're probably scouting, like, did they feel depressed? Like,
right. Yeah.
How did they handle this slump mentally?
Yeah.
Like, did their eating habits change? Like, or whatever. Right. Like, it's going to have to be that kind of stuff, right?
I would think, because I don't know, like, what future advancements there are. Unless one thing I was thinking about is, like, I wonder if they do. It feels to me, at least from what I've heard baseball players talk about, is like when they're choosing a bat. They choose whatever feels best to them.
Harry Potter stuff.
And like, yeah, right, exactly. But maybe like there's a way to figure out like by using, by measuring bat speed and motion or whatever in the cage with these TrackMan cameras, like figure out like actually this,
like
you swing harder with this bat than you do with
this
the one that like
this
feels
is Black Mirror shit, dude. I'm telling you, this is leading straight to Black Mirror stuff.
But
no,
if
what
it's
you're
Black
talking
Mirror
about
shit,
isn't.
So be it.
We're just getting. That's the path.
Right.
That's the path you're on. Is like
right.
We're measuring like their subconscious when
right,
choosing
yeah.
the bat,
or like even measuring yeah, like their the time that their nerves like send signals to their brain. Right. If there's a millisecond
dude,
difference,
they're already working on that kind of stuff. I've read already. Like yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I'm sure just for like yeah. brain research, but yeah. then applying that to like baseball players is like. Oh, there's like a nanosecond difference between this guy's synapses and this guy's synapses. Like, we could project that to
Dude.
Be a 10% batting average increase.
But then
or
you're
whatever.
Also going
to
start getting into like if they get the song they want, like, does that make a difference?
Right,
yeah. I mean, that's where it's
yeah,
headed.
Right. The dopamine in their brain, like, if they get a good song,
does that get them?
Okay, we're down the rabbit hole now, so let's call things here.
I think speculating on this is more valuable than speculating on if Montreal and Tampa are going to
yeah,
split.
Yeah, actually, that's probably true. we have the next 100 years of baseball to be debating whether it's more realistic to measure somebody's synapse.
We're
going to
live into
speeds.
Our 130s?
Oh, I can assume so.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you and I, not
shit.
Everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Just you and I. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you to Boardwalk Audio and Off the Bench for their support. Thank you to producer Joe and Moonbounce for music. We'll be back next week. We'll be a little bit more regular with episodes for the foreseeable future. So, tune in, like, subscribe, all that good stuff. And we will talk to you guys soon. So long.
Boardwalk Audio Podcast. For more information and shows, visit boardwalkaudio.com. Don't forget to rate and subscribe now.